Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
And how are we doing today, Big JD?
Not doing too bad.
You sound better than last week.
Yeah, slowly gets a little bit better, but still very limited in what I can do in pain while I take meds for that. not so much during the day, unless I really have to.
So you take the meds to help you sleep then?
Yeah, more through the night because... Yeah, otherwise I wouldn't be able to sleep from the pain.
So how do you deal with the pain during the day?
It's just more tolerable because I can get up, I can walk around a little bit or whatever, you know what I mean? Walking helps to some degree.
Oh, that's good.
Sitting is pretty near impossible. Laying on my back is okay. Laying on my stomach is not too bad. Can't lay on either side.
So walking is cool then?
Yeah, walking isn't bad. I have pain walking, but I mean, it's better than trying to sit or something.
Well, that's good.
So that's all still going on.
And have you noticed any difference in the last week as far as getting better? Or I mean, you're doing physio every day, right?
Yeah, I think it's harder for me to notice. I know I'm not moaning and groaning quite as much, but it's just very slow. Like we're talking... If it's going to go away, it's going to be like a matter of the next couple months or something, probably.
What? A couple months?
I'll be better as time goes. I mean, within the next couple weeks or so, I should be able to start doing regular shows and stuff, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm told that I need surgery, like, right away.
Oh, well, when did you get told that?
Oh, last week.
Oh, I was kind of under the impression that it was like a 1 in 10 chance that you might need surgery.
Well, it's 1 in 10 that usually needs surgery from it. Mm-hmm. I'm told I need it, but I don't really agree. I think it's going to go away over time. Physiotherapist seems to say that it's pretty bad and I could use surgery right away, but he's all for surgery right away, like trying to push it, and says that in time it may not go away. I might just get used, you know what I mean?
Ew.
To a certain degree of pain or whatever, you know. But I couldn't live like this, no way. I'd have to go for surgery if it stayed. But I'm pretty optimistic that it'll go away. But I've had this pretty bad before, and it's lasted for like a long, long time. Weeks and weeks and weeks, months.
But it had just had, the pain hasn't been this bad.
This is a little bit different. It's higher up in the back, and it's a different spot in the leg because of the nerve being pinched, and so it's different. I'd say before was probably way, way worse pain than this really was, although this is pretty persistent too. So and plus it was a long time ago. It was years ago that I had it really, really bad, so it's hard to remember.
It's hard to remember when I'm on all these drugs.
I can't remember yesterday. So that's what's going on in my neck of the woods.
Wow. Okay.
How about your neck of the woods, Lee?
Well, in my neck of the woods, everything's good. Family's at home. It's a nice, sunshiny. It's Saturday morning when we're recording this.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that.
Uh-huh.
Were we going to pull a fast one on all our listeners?
And I don't think we can pull a fast one forever, so we might as well just...
True.
Play it as it is.
Another pre-recorded show, and we're both recording on portable units as well. So, and you're recording with your Hi-O mic, though, right?
Oh yeah, yep.
I'm recording right into the mic on my H4.
Oh well, then that means I'm going to be sounding better then.
Yeah, you always do anyway.
Just kidding. So, you want to get into some real news?
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling. It's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
The piece of news that I have is regarding the FDA and the chemicals found in baby formulas.
Yep.
I don't know if you're aware of what was going on with that, but the Food and Drug Administration, they released more information about discovery trace amounts of chemicals, melamine and cyanuric acid, in a couple of popular baby formulas. And they say that's too low to really have any effect on them. And I guess it comes from, it's not naturally occurring, but it's and not approved to be in any, I guess, in any kind of edible substance. But because it's approved for like packaging and some equipment sanitizing solutions, I guess that's why they find it in there, because maybe things are cleaned with it and whatnot. But I guess it's not enough to harm an infant, although it's in there. So,
nah.
I don't know. But if you found it was in there and they said it's not enough to harm, would you maybe switch anyway to one that they didn't find it in?
Exactly. From what I don't believe the cleaning thing, maybe the whatever that acid was, but the melamine, they put that in there to boost the protein levels.
Yeah.
So
I'd switch to something else if that was found out.
Oh, yeah. There should not be even trace amounts in there. Yeah, I heard Reddit was like 0.25 parts.
On the Richter scale.
Per parts per million, I guess, which they say that, you know, it doesn't affect you. But that's right now they say that doesn't affect you. But, you know, down the road they may say, oh, that's still too much, you know. So, yeah, you want to be feeding your baby formula with zero amounts of melamine in it. That's like,
and they also say, because this is found out, they still say not to use homemade formula, because your baby may not get the nutrients that it does need, that it can get from, I guess, store-bought.
Right. I honestly don't think there's a problem in Canada too much with finding formula that contains this stuff, because it's all coming from China, correct?
I'm not sure where it actually comes from.
I'm pretty sure it's Chinese formula. I guess some of it has found its way to the west coast of both Canada and the United States, but, you know, a lot of stuff gets imported.
You're right, actually. It's the amounts are 10,000 times lower than those found in the in U.S. ones found in the melamine-tainted Chinese baby formula, which has killed at least 4 children and injured more than 50,000 this year.
Yeah, that's just unacceptable.
Wow. Well, I don't need anything from China anymore.
That's right.
Let's boycott.
Let's. I'm all for it.
No more podcasts from China.
What? It's kind of hard, though. Because if you're going to buy a new laptop in the near future, it's going to come from China.
That's right. Even if it says made in the USA, everything's Chinese inside.
Wow.
Instead of saying Intel inside, it should say Chinese inside.
You're right. I think, well, I don't know. It's hard to say where the component, every single component in a computer comes from, but I'm pretty sure it's Asian in some form.
Yeah, where it can all be made cheapest and it's all in that section of the world. What kind of news you got for us?
Well, this past week has just been filled with all kinds of crazy stuff since we last talked. The
Purple Friday?
Well, there's the Black Friday thing. There's the gunman attack in Mumbai, which people might know as Bombay, India. And then there's the auto execs going to Washington and getting turned back because they didn't come with a clear plan and they all flew in on their own private jets. And
right.
So pick a story.
What was the second one you said there?
The second...
You said something about Black Friday, but then you said... and it was before the...
The gunman in Bombay.
Yeah, go with that.
Well, I think it was Thursday night. The city was basically not taken over by, but it was just invaded by at least 30 gunmen who came in off a ship, because Bombay is right on the coast of the Indian Ocean there in India. And they came in and they were looking for people with British and American passports, and they were going to hold them hostage in these luxury hotels in Bombay. and I don't know what they were expecting to get out of it. You know, bring a plane and bring $50 million or whatever. I'm not sure if they even got to a point where they were able to, you know, exert any pressure on anybody because
that makes a lot of sense, eh? Come there on a boat, take hostages to demand a plane to get out of there. That's intelligent.
Yeah, well, I think they just, honestly, I think who was ever behind it just meant to create a lot of crap. Like, you know, they just were shooting into crowds with automatic weapons.
Did a number of people get killed?
The number of people that got killed was over 100 the last time that I looked, and 350 people were injured, sent to hospital.
Were these people caught?
Well, caught or shot. I guess as of last night, when I was reading the news last night, they said they got rid of all the gunmen except there's a few rooms in one hotel that they are still going room by room, you know, trying to flush these gunmen out. So it should all be over by now. I'm even thinking. So
wow,
and it's interesting.
Craziness in the world.
Yeah, and it's interesting. They call them terrorists. You know, yes, they probably are of Muslim religion. You know, there's a big history of Muslims and Hindus in India. You know, they were at war for I'm not sure how long. I don't remember my Indian history, but basically they settled on some kind of truce. The Muslims were all shipped off to Pakistan, and the Hindus were allowed to stay in what is now known as India. So you know, there's always been strife as far as that whole area, and there was the thing a couple years ago with Kathmandu, I think it was. You know, the Muslims said they owned it, and India said they owned it, and it's always been a lot of strife and tension between those two factions. So now that you know, it's interesting that the Hindus in India, they're kind of coming into their own. You know, they have industries there that are flourishing, and more of the population is spreading the wealth that's coming into India, mostly with high-tech jobs, as it turns out. Mind you, the standard of living is still very low. Like, doctors make, like, you know, $10,000 a year. But, you know, $10,000 a year there is good compared to, you know, the guy who, you know, shines shoes or whatever, you know. So it's interesting that India is coming into its own that way, whereas Pakistan is still known as a place where there's still lots of tension. They're training the Taliban there, and it borders on Afghanistan, and it's still very, you know, volatile in Pakistan, whereas India kind of said, okay, we're just going to get on with business here and try to progress not as a civilization, but as a country. So, of course, there's still lots of tension as far as that goes. But then there's another thing. There's another little theory that I have. I'm not sure if you're up on the pirating that's going on with the tankers and the ships in the Indian Ocean on the other side, though, off the coast of Somalia. All these ships are coming out of the Arab area. They're full of grain and steel and oil and all that kind of stuff. And there's pirates taking over these boats and demanding ransoms. Have you read or heard anything about that, Big JD?
Yeah. Some things never change.
No, they don't. And the biggest one was a ship called the Sirius Star, which has 500 million barrels of oil on it. And these pirates have taken it over, basically. And there's about 500 miles off the coast of Somalia now, and they're demanding, you know, millions of dollars. And these oil companies are paying these pirates the money just to, you know, get it over with. So it's interesting that Somalia is on the other side of the Indian Ocean, and it would just be not a short boat ride, but it would be a boat ride across the Indian Ocean, which, you know, it's the smallest ocean that we have. I'm not sure how long it would take to get across there, but it's not like crossing the Atlantic or the Pacific or anything like that. And they could easily be behind these attacks. I was kind of waiting to see who was going to take responsibilities for these attacks on Bombay. And when they said that they still haven't heard from anybody taking responsibility for it, I'm thinking all these Muslims factions are just, they all want to say, we did it, you know, send us money and we'll make it all go away kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if anybody's doing anything, everybody wants to take credit for it. It's not a blame thing. We want credit for doing that.
Yeah, we're waiting for the VHS tape, yeah.
VHS tape, yes, exactly. So, well, anyway, that's my take on what's going on over there in India.
Well, times are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our show's on this week, time.
Yes, it is. We're going to talk about how time affects us all and, in Big JD's case, how much time he's wasting in pain.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, too. Just wasting time. We'll talk about time to do things, no time, father time, taking time, finding it, losing it, and wishing we had more of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel about, like, you're a relatively productive member of society, and you're a creative, and it seemed like when you're not even all that well, you had your shoulder surgery, and you still, as soon as you're recovering, you got right back on the boat, and you're still writing and podcasting and recording music, and you know you're constantly doing something. You had always had three or four projects on the go.
Yeah.
How do you feel when you got to pull back on all that just because you're physically not able to do that as far as time goes? You know, you just feel time. I'd have to think you feel time slipping away from you.
Yeah, well, it's some things are a little more time dependent than others. And it's, yeah, some of them are, it's difficult to not be able to do some of the things that I really need to get done. But I guess I kind of have to look at it, put in perspective. You know, if I'm going to recover, I have to do whatever's required for that. And also, I guess it's a time to kind of, you know, sit back, and it's not that often that I get a break from anything. You know, I don't usually stop doing anything ever. And, so it's kind of good in that respect that I, you know, have, it's some free time to do other things and catch up on some things that are not really, you know, project related.
Are you reading?
Just things that I might want to do, some reading, some watching some of the, you know, videos or latest movies and things that I had gotten that I hadn't had time to look at, and some things like that.
Yeah, because...
A little bit of planning here and there, but...
Oh, planning.
Yeah, planning is a little easier than actually doing the things, you know, so a little bit of organizing, planning, figuring out, you know, what's going on, what I got to do, what I got to get on top of as I recover. So,
well, yeah, I guess in terms of not being able to be productive or creative in some ways, but I'm sure when you're going 90 miles an hour, you're always thinking, gee, I really want to get to watch that movie, or I really want to read this little thing over here, but I just can't. I got more important things to do. Whereas now, now's the time you can do that. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So I'm kind of, you know, enjoying it to some degree. It's rough because of the condition I'm in and all that stuff. But I mean, you know, I've had a few pizzas and Pop-Tarts, and you know what I mean?
Wow.
I'm not doing everything by the book right now.
I can imagine, no.
So
you have to indulge yourself just to stay sane, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder. And, you know, I mean, I can't. You know, when you look back later, when this is all over, you always think of, this is a time where I should have been doing this, or I should have been eating better, and I should have been doing this because, you know what I mean, because I can't exercise, so I should have been eating better, and, you know, that kind of thing. But then you're, you know, the condition that you're in, you're not always able to make and cook and do the things that, you know what I mean, you would normally do. So there's going to be some leeway there, unfortunately. But then again, at that too, you have to just look on the bright side. How often do I get to have, you know, pizza and Pop-Tarts? So...
Sure.
So I'm going to enjoy it.
Okay.
So to some degree, I'm living dangerously.
Now,
on the edge.
Do you go to the grocery store yourself and buy Pop-Tarts?
No, I had Lana pick me up Pop-Tarts one day, and then pizza once in a while. But it's like multigrain, vegetarian pizza.
Sure.
You know, I still don't go too crazy or nothing, no. But you know, or the bulk store, sometimes we go in there, we had some, what do you call it? We got them right now, chocolate-covered pretzels.
Mm.
So that's kind of neat because I don't get to eat that stuff all the time. So it's a little special treat for me, I guess, while I'm off treating myself.
Got to do what you got to do.
So, yeah, that's what's going on with my time specifically. But normally, I would have to say that there never seems to be enough time in a day.
Normally.
Yeah, I'm sure probably most people would agree with that.
Some people, yeah. I'm sure that's the way they live their lives. They try to fill it up as much as they can.
You think there's a lot of people that are bored?
I do think that some people are, yeah. Especially, during these troubled times, a lot of people have lost their jobs, and some people who just can't work because of, you know, whatever reason. I know my buddy out in Cleveland, Craig, he has lost his job, and, you know, he can only look for a job so many hours of the day, and he can only do so many things in his house to fix it up or do little projects. And eventually he says he's just going to the point where he's going crazy because he's got too much time on his hands. So he's
right. Yeah, I can see
bored
that.
Out of his brain. So I'm sure he is doing a lot of reading, and he's, you know, watching probably too much TV, and, you know, there can be a, you know, it's a balance like anything.
Let's talk about time management.
That's a great idea. So when you were busy and productive and creative, what did you, I'm sure you had some kind of time management strategy in place.
Yeah, usually it's, I allot time for things. I think some times during the day are, you know, I guess you can tend to be more productive than others. And then you have to look at your surroundings and things that are going on. You know, I mean, if you got kids and you got to pick them up after school at 3 o'clock or something like that, then, you know, obviously from 3 till 4 o'clock, you're not going to be doing, you know, some other type of productive thing. I mean, you have to kind of schedule yourself, you know. So if, I don't know, you're maybe a housewife or something like that, and you know, mornings work for you or something, maybe you got to get kids ready in the morning, and then you have a certain time to do, you know, whatever it is you do. Maybe you have a whole little home business or something like that, and you spend some time on, and then you have time that you want to spend for housework and cleaning or something like that, and then you get kids at 3. I mean, a lot of people can look at it as it's just crazy busy and I have no time for anything, but I think if you manage time, I think it's really important, because if you manage time, I think that you can find time for some of the things that you do want to do or that are for yourself. And I think that's a really important thing out of anybody's day is to maybe out of somebody's week, but or out of the day to allot some time just for yourself for, you know, almost nothing, to sit down and relax. For anybody, I guess, a guy or girl, to pamper themselves in some way, you know, I don't know what it'd be for a guy, I guess, but I mean, a girl for a bath or something like that, or, you know, something just to do for yourself, or maybe it's a weekly thing where you have, you book some kind of pedicure, manicure thing. I don't, maybe guys do it too, or massage or something, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Massage is nice.
Or the best thing I'd say is maybe exercise, like doing something for yourself, you know?
Right. You can also, while you're exercising, do something else. Like you can, you know, watch TV or read, depending, you know, if you're on a
Well, a lot of times, yeah.
If you're on a treadmill or on another piece of machinery or whatever.
Yeah, even if, I mean, if you go somewhere to exercise and, you know, a lot of times they have the TVs in a cardio room or something, or if you work out at home, you have any equipment, or if you go out, take a run, you know, it's a lot of times that's pretty nice to get out and go for a jog, and, you know, you have the scenery out there, you get outside, you get some sun, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then again, it all comes down to scheduling. Maybe you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go for a run for an hour before you have to get the kids ready for school, you know? It all depends on how somebody juggles their time and what you have to do through your day. And then, you know, priority and that kind of thing, what things are more important that you have to do or take care of. Maybe, you know, you have your regular job and then you have to allot all your time after that. But you figure, you sleep 8 hours and you work 8 hours, and then you have 8 hours to, you know, cut up into some kind of managed you know, another managed 8 hours of a lot of things that you do and can do.
You bet. There's a lot of great information you can find online as far as keeping your time productive and making the best of your time. And usually having a plan is one really good way to do that, either writing it down or putting it in your PDA, or, you know, having a visual of what you are what you expect of yourself, and then following the plan. Whereas I know a lot of people, including myself, just put ideas in my head. Okay, I got to get that done, and I got to get that done. I'm not so much a write it down kind of guy, unless I know it's really important that I have to get something done. I'll throw it in my iPhone and set an alarm, and I know I got to do it. And it's interesting that I rarely forget to do something, or I'm always, once I write it down in my iPhone, it's always on my mind kind of thing. So I know if I put a whole day's worth of stuff or a week's worth of stuff in there, the stuff that I got to do, I know that I would probably get it done.
I have a calendar that's always pretty much filled up every day.
I know you seem to really work on your calendar like that. Your calendar is like a part of your life. Like it's something that you really pay a lot of attention to, it seems like.
Yeah, it's true. And the thing that I find sometimes with that, though, is I do spend a fair amount of time at it, and it's time consuming as well. You actually have to allot time to make time.
You mean you have to set aside some time to make better use of the rest of your time?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, exactly. And it's not even so much setting aside the time. It just, you know, that's one of the first things probably of my day is checking the schedule and juggling the schedule and moving things around the schedule and, you know, sorting things and that kind of thing. Because, you know, as you get through the day, some things get done, some things don't, and then they have to be moved around a little bit. And but I think it's a really good idea to schedule yourself. Or for people that finding it difficult to manage time, to at least try that. And, you know, I'd suggest something as simple as, you know, a calendar to write on even. But I just find that computer software, you know, works great for that because, you know, you do have the alarms and you can move things around when you're using a paper calendar or something, and you have to erase things all the time or cross things out and things get messy and it gets a little bit more difficult to read and that kind of thing. Sometimes those ones with the erasable markers or something that you might have something posted up in your kitchen, but I think software is about the best thing for that. If you know, you are using the computer to some mm-hmm. degree, then it's pretty convenient. And also, I think for your family, I mean, you can schedule, you know, everybody's you can keep track of everybody's schedule. I think you know, you might find that really helps as far as managing time.
Probably, yeah. I know my wife, she does, you know, the kids have a certain amount of activities, and they now have relied on her to keep track of when they got to do stuff. So it's totally out of their head when they have, they don't even know that they got something coming up. It's just my wife will just say, okay, at this time we got to go play hockey, let's say. And I'm kind of thinking that at their age, now is probably the time that they should really start working on some time management skills, and having someone else look after your schedule for you probably isn't the way to do that.
Probably not. I mean, at least even starting off with, you know, if there was some type of material schedule written down or like on the computer or something
it's
like
on
that.
On the fridge.
Where, maybe she. Okay, so well, yeah, I guess she's taking care of it, but at least I guess they have to know to check their schedule in the morning or something to see what they have coming up, if there's something that they have to do. If you don't do anything and you're just relying on somebody to actually even tell you that you have to do something at some time, I guess, yeah, you'd want to get them in gear on the time management thing or task management.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
I'm on a website right now. It's called How to Wake Up Early, and it's a blog basically by this guy, Y-Graph, and he has 9 things here that you can do to make better use of your time, and also make make better use of your time. And it kind of revolves around the waking up kind of early kind of thing. So I was
Yeah, that's important, too.
I just want to go over a couple of these things here. The number one is work on yourself. He says, early morning is an excellent time for personal development. How many times have you complained you don't have enough time to read yourself, get or read your self-improvement book or learn a new language or try a new idea? He says, try to do that in the morning. Also, number two, is exercise your body. You know, if you're going to do that in the morning, practice your yoga or do your training routine or whatever. And what's another good one? He said, use morning time for thinking. Because in the morning is usually when your brain is more, it's fresh and it's open to new ideas. It's kind of like a blank slate that you can start working on stuff. Whereas if you're trying to really think of stuff late at night, as you know, usually garbage comes out. So, and he says in the morning, if you can, go outside first thing in the morning. The nature wakes you up every day when the sun comes up. So should you, because your body is part of nature. Of course, it depends at what time the sun goes up and down in your area. But go outside and try to wake up with nature. Get your body in tune with that. So if you're, you know, somewhere where it's not, you know, the climate isn't too horrible, as soon as you wake up, go outside and go for a little walk and gather your thoughts. Wake up outside, as opposed to, like me this morning, I sit in front of a computer with a cup of coffee.
Well, even if whatever your weather's like, I mean, if it's a snowstorm outside, you bundle up and you go for a walk and, you know, pretty much every time you're gonna come back thinking that, you know, that was, you're glad you did it.
More than likely, yes. Mm-hmm. So that's at howtowakeuparly.com if anybody wants to check that out. It's a good little blog. He gives some good ideas.
Yeah, I like the getting up, you know, doing these things in the morning, and it's a lot of other things you can think of about the morning time as well, and that's the fact that, you know, if you normally get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, start getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you have an extra hour in your day to do something.
It's interesting to look at it that way, you know. A lot of people just think, wake up an hour early?
Or even a half hour. Wake up early and say you have your shower done early and this and that done early, and you still have another half hour maybe before you have to go to work or something. You can sit and read, or you can look sit and read the paper. Or you can, you know, maybe do some surfing on the web, or, you know, maybe actually have a little extra time to kind of plan out your schedule and plan your weekend and that kind of thing. And when you keep track of all those things, it just makes it a little easier to juggle your time, especially if you're really busy and, you know, the family things going on. Like, I'm sure you guys are, you know, most people with families are a lot busier, I guess, you know, with kids and having to, I guess with the kids' schedule, especially, yeah. Too, you know, when they're involved in sports and all that kind of stuff, and your kids are playing music and girlfriends and all that kind of stuff, and it's got to get busy.
Yeah. So you're saying get up a half an hour early. Does that mean you should go to bed a half an hour earlier as well?
Not necessarily, but it depends on what your sleep ethics are or if you sleep well. I mean, if you're getting 8 hours of sleep a night and you want to try 7.5, or maybe you do want to go to bed a little bit early at night because maybe that nighttime is a time where you can't do as many things anyway, and you can more utilize that time, half hour in the morning, then, you know, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, do you meditate?
To a degree, yeah. It's not, I don't know, I guess you'd call it some form of meditation, but it's Silva. I still do Silva occasionally. I haven't kept up with it as much as I wanted to, and I'm always wishing I had more time. And, you know, honestly, now I have a lot of time to do that, and I still can't seem to really fit it in.
It's a frame of mind thing, right? You have to be in a certain frame of mind.
But
yeah.
Silva... Yeah, Silva is, it's not the hugest time-consuming thing, but it's, yeah, it's a form of meditation. It's getting your mind into the alpha state, and then it's different things, ESP, astral projection, you know, mass consciousness or you know, self-consciousness of doing things, getting things done, changing things in your life and that kind of thing. And it's basically, you could say it's a form of meditation. Because, you know, going into the alpha state, I guess you're kind of, you know, into a meditative state. But not the regular type meditation where you, you know, the om, you know, with the legs crossed kind of thing or anything like that. But I guess it's all, you know, on the same kind of lines. But I think La Silva is more for doing something, accomplishing something, whereas meditation a lot of times is more just to clear yourself, clear your mind, and relaxation.
Yep.
And this is very relaxing too, but it's I think it's a little bit different. But so it's, that's why I say to, in some way, yeah, I do meditate. Sometimes you can do Silva just for the relaxation itself. You can get in the alpha state and, you know, just as a relaxing thing, go through like the training exercises kind of thing. But I think meditation is great, you know, in any way, shape, or form. You know, probably especially regular meditation, like you're probably thinking or saying. I don't know. Do you meditate?
I don't. No. I wish I could. I mean, I can. I mean, yeah.
You need time.
No, it's not.
Get up a half hour early every day.
I need some meditation techniques or something. I need someone to, you know, kind of get me into it. I need
internet.
Get the internet to get me into it?
Yeah, you'll find everything you need on the internet.
Yes. Do you think maybe our listeners are getting a little sick of our voices and maybe we should dive into Sunday Morning Music Mayhem?
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
All right, what have you got for us this Saturday for Sunday?
Well, since it's morning and we were just talking about meditation and mind soothing stuff, we're going to play a song this morning by Steely Dan from their Gaucho CD. It's called Time Out of Mind.
And there we have Steely Dan.
Yeah, an oldie but a goodie. Are you a Steely Dan fan?
I am. I'm not. I mostly know, like, you know, the hits and stuff they play on the radio, Josie and all that stuff. I don't so much know all the more obscure stuff, or I don't have. I was never. I never really had, like, Steely Dan albums until, like, you know, later, once I was in the DVD thing, or buying down, you know, digital music and stuff. I have, you know, some Steely Dan now.
Sure. I was turned on to it by my buddy's older brother, which, you know, that's a very common way. A lot of guys get turned on to stuff. Friends' older brother turns you on to stuff. And I didn't know it at the time when I was listening to it, but it was the production and the musicianship that really turned me on to them. And then once I started, you know, listening to some of their other stuff, I just had to have it all.
Yeah, I guess when I first heard of them at all, you know, I guess was from somebody older too, and it seems that way for that particular kind of music. And it was my cousin, and he was more into Toto and Traffic and, you know, those kinds of bands. And I think Steely Dan kind of fits in there, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe even Yes a little bit in there, but
sure.
But those, you know, bands that are a little more, you know, maybe even Kansas and some different things that are not as heavy rock.
No.
I don't know what you would call them for their time, but they're, there just seemed to be something that somebody a few years older than me would be into more so than what I was into, you know?
Right. Well, Yes would be known, like, as progressive rock, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. I guess most of them would kind of be.
Well, and a lot of those bands that
rock or progressive, or
sure. And a lot of those bands that you named there, it was what they created in the studio that was really their legacy. Whereas, you know, Steely Dan, when they were making CDs, right, they never went on tour. They never went out on, and, you know, they never had a live show at all. You just,
yeah, same, like, even Boston was like that.
Really?
I don't think Boston did much. They were it was more a studio thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the guitar player played all the bass on all the stuff, I think, and
yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. I know that what's his name, Tommy Schultz, he was kind of like a geek kind of guy, like a studio sound dude making his own circuits, and you know, he had that line of little guitar boxes, of which I bought one. I forget what it's called. Oh,
Rocktron?
No, Rockman.
Rockman? Yeah. Rockman, right.
And, you know, I he was a smart dude. He had, like, his engineering from MIT and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
So, but anyway, that's this week's Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, Steely Dan. You want to get back into the time thing, or do you want to dive right into some tech talk?
We got a little more time for time.
Okay.
There's a lot of songs about time, actually, since we're on the Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
Was there ever?
Time by Pink Floyd, even.
Time Has Come Today by, what's the dude's name?
Time Has Come Today. Oh, I can't. That's an old song, right?
Yes.
Like from the, almost the, what do you call it, times, like
Chamber Brothers.
Country Joe and the Fish and, huh?
Chamber Brothers.
Is that who that is?
Yes.
And a couple of things we mentioned, I think, in previous show when we were talking about this show coming up, Boy George, Time After Time.
Jeez.
Oh, no, Cyndi Lauper, right? Is that?
Yes.
Who is that? Cyndi Lauper, yes. Yeah. I'm thinking of, what's the Boy George thing there? Time song. Oh, Time Won't Give Me Time. Time won't give me time.
That's insane that you know that.
Yeah, well, you know it.
I don't. I don't know that stuff.
You know that song.
No, he was probably whispering.
You can't tell me you don't know that song.
I can.
Time won't give me time.
I can tell you I don't know that song. I might be lying, okay. But I don't.
I think if you heard it, you'd be like, oh, okay, I remember that. You know, Time After Time, obviously.
Yes, I know Time After Time. And that's what Boy George seems to be getting busted, is Time After Time in the boys' washrooms.
That's right. That's enough time spent on Boy George.
Exactly.
I was thinking, what's that Guess Who time? The Guess Who?
Yeah, they have a song with time related.
Yeah, the Mother Nature... it cuts into New Mother Nature taking over, but this their first part of the song is something time. got no time. No time left for you. Right?
Yep.
No time. Is that what it's called? No time.
That's what it is.
No time left for you. And another good one is Time of the Season. Zombies.
Zombies, yeah. Great tune.
Yeah, zombies are really pretty cool. You know who came originally from the zombies was Rod Argent.
Yep.
The Hold Your Head Up guy.
Yeah.
Hold your head up.
Yeah, he had that was a pretty big tune, I remember.
That's right, yeah.
I remember seeing him, I don't know why, but I remember seeing him on Midnight Special.
Yeah.
His performance, for some reason, sticks in my head. I remember seeing, you know, they had those rounded letters behind him, the neon letters behind the guys. I remember just seeing Argent back then. And
Rod Argent, Todd Rundgren, and there's another guy, and they all come to mind, and I guess it's, I don't know why, because they're around the same kind of thing, sort of, at that time, maybe, and Steve Winwood, even. I don't know why I think of all, I kind of group those guys together somehow.
Rod Argent, he's
Mick Ronson may be in there too.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why I do. I seem to kind of group all those guys into.
They're a bunch of English similar lads.
Maybe that's what it is. But yeah, time influences a lot of people in
sure
more ways than one.
Yes,
it can influence you to create something that's time related, like the song, or maybe a book about time somehow, or the life and times of, you know what I mean, kind of thing. And then time can also inspire you to some degree if you have time or don't have time. Like, I know I started writing my first book because I had a lot of time from my with my shoulder surgery. It was very difficult in the beginning, but I had a lot of time, and that's what I used that time for. Unlike now, where I haven't been able to work on that stuff because I can't sit, you know, so it's made it difficult. But so you can see how time can influence things by having time, maybe not having time.
So what are you doing right now? Are you sitting down, laying down? What are you doing?
I'm kind of up and down. I've been kneeling on the ground, and then I'm actually in a chair right now, but in a very, really cockeyed position that I am. I actually got to get out of again right now.
Okay.
So I'm moving again. Sometimes I'm on one knee, like, you know, in the proposal state, and sometimes I'm on two knees. But these positions are difficult.
Wow, he's on one knee. That's insane.
Yeah, right now.
Hey, boy.
If you'd see me right now, you'd like probably start crying and say, I do. Or I will, or whatever.
Or where's my ring?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even wear my ring anymore. There's no reason to keep it hard right now. Oops.
I don't understand. Anyway, we should dive into
you want to
yeah, we got to move on.
Yeah.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Tech Talk. I don't know if you had something for Tech Talk. I got a little something.
Well, give us your little something.
And mine was the headphone distribution amp. Sounds complicated, doesn't it? But for, you know, any people that need more than one headset for people, it's like maybe recording podcasts or, you know, group sessions like that, recording and those kind of things, there's this particular little gadget that you can get. Most of them are pretty small. And it's they're called a headphone monitor or headphone distribution amplifier, and it's a little amplifier for headphones that allows you to, you know, go from your source but plug in, you know, maybe four or eight sets of headphones, however many you need. Sometimes it's two. You can kind of consider those little, just the little wire ones that, you know, you can plug into your iPod, say, and plug two headphones in. It's kind of a headphone distribution thing.
But it doesn't amplify
these ones are powered. No, these ones are powered and they're amps, and. So you get more volume out of your sent to the headset, and also that distribution of, you know, four people being able to listen to headphones instead of just one, and usually all separately controlled as well. Mine is a Fostex PH5. Art makes them, the Headamp 4. There's a Presonus HP4. Samson makes them, Samson S-Amp. And a few different ones. Some are rack mounts. Some are just little standalone units. And a very handy little thing if you have any type of a recording studio or facility, or you're, you know, like I say, in a podcasting, and you have a co-host or, you know, maybe guests and things like that. And it's pretty handy for that. So that's what I wanted to mention. Headphone distribution amp. And you can just search headphone distribution on the net and probably come up with tons of them.
Okay. The one thing I wanted to mention was, are you familiar with Joost at all? J-O-O-S-T?
Joost. I am. And it's some, isn't that, is that some kind of TV thing online?
Yeah, it's a video.
Something.
I don't know what's...
Yeah, I think I was signed up for a beta test or something with them.
Yeah.
And I never did anything.
They had a lot of promise initially to be a web-based video outlet, but a lot of the TV stations and movie distribution companies were in the middle of putting their own thing together, either in the planning stages or they're just sort of beta testing their own thing, whereas Joost was like ready to go. They had the infrastructure in place, they had, you know, the interface all ready to go, and so they went to these companies when they were just had their own idea to do anything, so they never got the deals that made it possible for them to put anything together solid. So they still have tons of video up there. I think there's like 43,000 pieces of video they have up there, but you know, there's like Hulu now, and then there's the Netflix thing that you can get your video streamed down. But anyway, the thing I wanted to talk about was Joost now has a iPhone application. So it only works on Wi-Fi. It won't work over the cellular network. But when you're on Wi-Fi, you're able to download all the Joost videos on your either on your Touch or on your iPhone. And it's, you know...
They don't stream, they download?
It streams. It's a streaming, yeah, okay. Streaming.
Do they have good content? I mean, some good movies and stuff? Or what is it all about?
They do have
up to date stuff.
Yeah, it's all up to date. Yeah, they're always adding.
And do you pay?
No, it's all free. I'm not sure in the application if you get ads or not. I'm going to download it myself and give it a shot. But
what about on the net when you go on the computer? Is it you can just watch movies there?
Yes.
Too?
A lot of music videos and a lot of independent movies as well. Stuff that is not so mainstream. I know that I'm looking here. They got a sports channel. They got a Beyonce channel. So, a racing channel.
They got some like TV shows and stuff like that, or no?
No, because all the TV shows, of course, they all are being either. You can either buy them on iTunes, or you go to Hulu and watch them online, or you know, there's other. The TV studios have totally made it as profitable as they possibly can for them to stream their own content in their own on their own site or whatever, you know what I mean? They have different vehicles.
So with it being, if it's more independent type stuff, I mean, this is kind of the stuff that you can find just about anywhere, like all the what do you call it, stuff that's public domain and everything?
Yeah, some of that stuff's on there as well, yeah. Yeah, so...
But I guess if it's something that you can stream to your, you know, to your small device, that's pretty cool, I guess, I have to say.
Yeah, it's nice to have an interface on the device that is specifically made for that device, as opposed to going on the web and trying to get this stuff, which I'm sure if you went on the went into Safari on your iPod Touch or your iPhone, it probably won't play because it's probably Flash-based, whereas I'm sure the Joost content that you get on there, they've done some codecking and made it playable on those devices.
Right. I wish I could think offhand what the site was now that there's a particular public domain site that allows you to download all their stuff in iPod format.
Nice.
And it's all free, of course. I'm just, if I can find that or think of what that is right away, would be really cool. But I don't think I can.
That's okay.
Public, let me see, maybe it's this here. I think this is it here. Yes, I believe this is it. Okay, I think this is the site, publicdomaintorrents.com. Okay, now that one's, I think is torrent based, that you download the torrents, but there's another one that doesn't use BitTorrent, and it's you just actually download the files. And I probably have that one in here too somewhere. See if I find it really quick for everybody. Free movies in the public domain. Okay, let me try that one. If you do search for public domain and search some of these sites, it's one of the bigger sites. I mean, so that you would actually find the one I'm even talking about, and it gives you a choice to download in a couple different formats, like download the AVI or download the MPEG-4. But I guess that's it. Just search movies, public domain movies. But there are a lot of sites and some pretty cool content and good old movies. You know, some of those old black and white westerns from John Wayne and old B-horror movies. And there's a lot of cool stuff that's in public domain. Even some Little Rascals and Three Stooges are public domain. Yeah, only a few of each of them, I would say, is actually public domain.
I wonder how that worked out. Some of the stuff on Juice that I'm now, as you're talking, I'm just going through. You can get like episodes of Bonanza and Showtime shows and National Geographic and Beverly Hillbillies are on there, and so there's some stuff that you might find on the on your HD channel on the alternate dash one and dash two side of your HD channels that you get over the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and sort of on this note, something else that, here's another site actually. It's, I guess it's called movies.glozy.com, G-L-O-Z-Y. And they have a lot of things like those, you know, public domain, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, 1920, you know what I mean? But they have some specific download formats, it looks like, too, or some different streaming formats. Anyways, is something that it brings to mind old time radio.
Right.
And you can find a heck of a lot of old time radio shows online that are public domain and free to download MP3 format, like, you know, Sherlock Holmes and The Green Hornet and Amos and Andy and Abbott and Costello and a lot of things like that. And it's pretty neat to be able to get that stuff. It's in public domain and it's easy to find. Just search something like OTR or old time radio.
Just want to explain that to me, and, Andy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty neat. That's a good tech thing. And what are you saying about Juice now? Did you?
What was I saying about it?
Yeah, you said something else about your, mentioned something else, and I, you were looking at it.
Oh, well, I'm just saying that there is some content in there that it's, well, not, right, it's not public saying, domain, yeah. But the, you know, it's the old time TV, like I say, Bonanza and some, there's some Showtime stuff there, National Geographic, Beverly Hillbillies, and all kinds of cool stuff. So if you got an iPhone or iPod Touch, or you're going to be getting one for Christmas, you might want to check out the Juiced app on the iTunes Store.
And that's J-O-O-S-T, yep. Right? As opposed to Juiced, like somebody that does steroids. It's all Juiced up. Right. So yeah, there you have that. And we'll mosey right along into Jabberquote.
Jabberquote.
You sound like you're in a public place.
Well, it's because you're hearing me through the microphone that's on my iMac. So you're here.
Yeah, but there's things going on over there, ATV.
Yeah, there's
and
a
stuff.
TV going. You're probably going to hear that, but I bet you probably the TV probably will not come through my Heil microphone.
Oh, yeah.
You won't be able to hear it in the final show.
So what's the Jabber Quote this week, which is brought
Stan
to us by
and Larry, fine purveyors of used watches. You want to watch time go by, go to Steve and Larry and buy yourself a nice pocket watch and stick it in your vest pocket.
Rolex replica.
Sure. No, they sell nothing but the real deal there. And you,
ooh.
And this week's quote, there's a couple Ben Franklins, but the one that I like the most is the one by Edgar Allan Poe. And if you've ever been involved in a relationship for a long period of time, you'll understand this one. Years of love have been forgotten in the hatred of a minute. Okay, I like the way that just sunk in there.
Say it again.
Years of love have been forgotten in the hatred of a minute.
Wow.
So you,
that's
you go,
deep.
Yeah, it is deep. And but it has the whole time thing there. You know, you got years of love. And for sure, you know, many a relationship has been ended because of, you know, a misunderstanding or just a fight you have, you know,
right.
Or
an argument. In a second.
Exactly. Boom, it's done, you know.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives you the sense of the time thing, you know, like we've been together, we've had great moments together, we've had our disagreements, but then, you know, that one moment in time that, you know, you either pissed somebody off or you did something you maybe shouldn't have did or whatever. If you have a hate for 1 minute, if there's 1 minute of hate in there, it can end all those years of love.
A lifetime.
It could be a lifetime, depending on who the person you're loving, the love thing goes, if it's a parental thing or if it's a lover thing. So I thought that was a pretty good, you know, you could go by the old Ben Franklin standard, never leave that till tomorrow, which you can do today. You know, that was so cliche. I wanted to give us something a little more deep than that. So that's this week's jabber quote.
Now, next week, maybe another remotely pre-recorded show. And
I hope not.
It's not only is this a pre-recorded show, it's remote as well. We're not together. So,
yeah, when we say remote, some people think that we're in a remote location, like live from the Tecumseh Mall. We're doing the show today at the front of...
yeah, what else would you call it? But it's it is a remote show. It's I'm at one location, you're at another location. So,
Yeah, it's remote for sure. I'm just, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah. Clarifying. But anyway, next week.
Next week, I guess, December 7th?
Yep.
One world government.
Well, that's going to be awesome. And you have for the show description, was it not Robert Dylan who once said that times, they are changing? Well, it always is, but we are headed for some major changes in the not-so-distant future. If you have some input, let us know. Do you have any Ameros yet?
Yeah, if anybody has any an opinion or anything on one world government or how you see things evolving or what you might like to see or hope that you don't see, you know, let us know. And you can contact us from thejabbercast.com. You can go to the contact page there. Email us at hearmeoutatthejabbercast.com or from the contact page, you can...
I'm sorry, you can, on the contact page, you can go to the My Chingo widget there and leave us a message. Click the leave a message button and we'll get it and put it in the show. I'm sure there's some people out there, some intelligent people listening to the Jabbercast who have some ideas as far as the one world government goes. Because I'm right on top of that.
It's a hot topic. That's a hot topic.
I think it is. Anyway, so next week, it's the One World Government. We'd love to hear some opinions from other people as far as this idea goes. Join us on the Yahoo. You open up Yahoo at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, Big JD?
No.
Okay, I'll try to do that tomorrow morning.
It's just too difficult to man the system. But yeah, you can check in there for sure. Our username, the Jabbercast, on Yahoo. And I think MSN now you can hook up with Yahoo too, right?
Oh, positively, yeah.
They're both the mesh same. Together.
Yep, they're the same.
All right, appreciate everybody listening, and have a great week.
Yep, we'll talk to you next weekend. It's
the Jabbercast Podcast, talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.